Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of The World As We Know It, bringing news that matters to you. I'm your host, Ariel Zalezzi. Today, my guest is Lisa Valdez. She is an alumni of CSU, Dominguez Hills, and UCLA. She is an outreach librarian who can be found mostly helping students with research around the library, but loves comic books, cosplay, and word on the street, she has mad skills as an urban line dancer. Thank you for coming on the show, Lisa.
Thank you for having me.
Now today, I wanted to dive into cultural identification through comic book heroes, especially in the wake of the Black Panther movie's success. Mm-hmm. Now, Black Panther ruled the box office for 5 consecutive weeks, grossing an astronomical $1.2 billion internationally in a very small window of time. Black Panther is now the third highest grossing movie of all time in the United States. Why do you think that people took so strongly to this movie versus other superhero movies?
Because it was so different.
How did you think it was different?
It was just time. It was time for them to have a superhero that wasn't white. So it was a very exciting time for Black people. So I don't think people have gone to the movies like this since Coming to America.
Right.
Because it was a little bit of a celebration of culture, but it was, you know, also a comedy, and people were always rooting for Eddie Murphy to do so well, just because they saw him as, you know, somebody from a community or somebody who grew up, you know, like the rest of us did.
So I think
it also shows what we can accomplish given the opportunity. And even when not given the opportunity, sometimes we just have to make those things happen on our own.
Right. Mm-hmm. As an African American, how did you relate with the movie?
Well, I've always been into comic books, so I had already been reading the series, and I already own Black Panther, and I had.
Could you give the audience like a little background on your comic book history?
Well, I've always been an avid reader, and I started my kids reading early, and my son was really into comic books when he was young. He's 22 now. So that we've been doing that for a while. And I remember the first time I really thought that he would really like comics or graphic novels. He just was always trying to find something to read. And my father had this book on economics. He was like 6. But it was a comic book on economics, and he tried to talk to my father about it, and my father said he was interested in this. I didn't know what he was talking about. So that's when we really started to get into it. But when I really started to get into it as far as my work is concerned, maybe like 5-6 years ago, I started to go to Comic-Con. And really just to really explore some alternative ways of teaching, and really getting reluctant readers to start reading. I'm a very visual person, and so are my children. So I understand how it can be more engaging. And so that's how I get. So I go to different cons. I cosplay. I go to the Ren Faire. You know, I just... You know, I love sci-fi, I love fantasy, so that's me.
So how, with all that background, did you relate with that character after seeing all these white superheroes all this time and finally having a African-American figure to look up to as a superhero?
There were finally more options as far as cosplay. That was the first thing I was most excited about. I was like, oh my God, all these new characters I can dress up as, and I could feel more comfortable because I feel like, hey, I'm representing my own people rather than as dressing like all these other characters. I felt like I had to really do a lot more exploration. Not to say that I couldn't dress like Wonder Woman or all these other characters if I so choose. But you almost feel like you're perpetrating a fraud because It's like, I'm just copying off of you, you know? Like when I was growing up, there wasn't a lot of Black TV. There was a lot of white TV. So these were the people that we, you know, we wanted to, you know, when you get all your posters when you're young, the only Black poster I had was of Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5. Everybody else was white. So there just wasn't a lot out there unless you, you know, was in love with Billy Dee, and I wasn't a Billy Dee fan. I mean, not that he was bad. I just, you know, but there just wasn't a lot out there. So I was really excited about that. I was really excited about being able to really talk to my niece and my goddaughters about, look how important and how empowering women can be. You know, we don't, you know, and I really like the one about, you know, although I love my hair, I really like the ones where, you know, I was like, these women, it's not about their hair, you know, it's like, they're still beautiful too, you know, and so I just thought that it explored so many different things. And then the T'Challa's sister, who was a scientist, and all these different things. And I was like, this is just so great for our young girls growing up to have these role models. So that's what it meant for me, because I in my profession, you know, you don't see a lot of Blacks as librarians. And so for me, I always feel like I have to, I guess, be careful what I say, be careful what I do, because I feel like, you know, in the profession that I'm in, you know, I don't want to make mistakes. I don't want to be I just want to make sure I set a good example to show that I can do the same job that everybody else does. That's predominantly, you know, occupation of whites. It just is.
I completely understand, because every where I go, especially when I was growing up, I definitely was in a more white area, mm-hmm. so to say. Like, my job is in Agoura Hills, and I'm mm-hmm. one of, like, the only Black people on staff, and I definitely can relate with always having to feel like I have to be careful,
yeah,
and make sure that I'm setting a good example for my culture, mm-hmm. and not come off as that bad rep that Black people tend to get. Mm-hmm. So this movie, for me at least, I definitely loved, like you said, seeing the scientists and seeing, like, these, like, the fact that the king's army is women, and they're yes. all just strong, beautiful, bald, and could kick your butt.
Yeah, definitely.
In the movie, obviously, there are heavy ties to African-American culture. From the setting at the beginning of the movie, when they're showing the troubled part of Oakland, California, where the antagonist, Killmonger, grows up.
Yes.
And the father and uncle. To when, at the end of the movie, T'Challa was saying to Killmonger, we can still heal you, in which he responded, why, so you can lock me up? I would rather you just bury me in the ocean with my ancestors who jumped from ships, because they knew that death was better than bondage. Why do you think that they would put these little snippets of African-American culture in the movie that have such heavy themes, such as the slaves jumping from ships?
Well, I think that as much as they want to build this, comic books are based on fantasy, but I still think that in reality, no matter how much we pretend, people of color must still live in reality. And the reality is that we need to understand our history. We need to understand where we came from. We need to understand the things that we don't want repeated.
Right.
And so I think that to give really people a better understanding that we should never forget where we came from. So the thing is that I think that the difference between T'Challa and Killmonger was that T'Challa never experienced oppression or prejudice. And so he really didn't understand where Killmonger was coming from. But we as an audience, we as Black people, we totally got him.
Yeah.
And I think that's why so many people were a little angered about, like, why did you let him die? But the reality is he had one goal. And he had cultivated that goal from the trauma of seeing his father dead, being abandoned, not having any family support, having to raise himself. in the midst of being a stereotype.
Which a lot of young African-Americans do go through.
Yes. So, you know, and it also puts me in the mind of, we have the Umoja program here, the African-American Experience program here. And I went to a conference, and I'm listening to these young black men speak. And they're talking about the things that go on in their head, like when people are, you know, those microaggressions where people look at them, challenge who they are as men, challenge who they are as human beings, always feel like just their mere presence is threatening, and they're constantly being judged. And what does that really do in their mind? What does that really... how can they come to terms with that? It takes a special kind of person. It takes, you know, it takes strength to be able to deal with those types of dynamics on a daily basis. And so thinking about that, thinking about Killmonger and everything that he went through, trying to find a way to accomplish this goal of getting to this country and killing all these people that abandoned him, that so-called themselves his family. I mean, he went to the military, he killed all these people, he had all these marks on his body or whatever. So he had one goal in mind, and it was all based on hate. And that couldn't be changed because he had lived it for too long. It was ingrained in him, it was who he was. And it would have took so much to heal that. But people gotta be, you can only help people who wanna be helped. And he wasn't there. You know, it's just like saying a drug addict, they got to hit rock bottom. He didn't feel like he did, because he went in, he thought he killed his cousin. He had took over the country that had abandoned him, and he was going to kill all the people that had made his life miserable. And he was well on his way. And when people got in his way, because he had been such a professional at fighting and killing, I mean, and that was his whole mindset. He could not be swayed from that. He could not be turned from that. But then, you know, you understand too, he feels like he did live in his own personal bondage his whole life.
Right.
And so he refused to allow them to make him a slave in another way. So that's why he didn't want to live. No different than, you know, our ancestors saying that I'd rather be dead and in my grave rather than beaten and raped and starved and in chains. I'd rather be dead, you know. And then that was his attitude. These things were necessary. Talking about colonizers, so many different groups, not just us, have been colonized throughout history. And I think it was important, for especially as a superhero, it spoke to so many different people because so many people went to do it. So just saying colonizer spoke to so many different groups and not just us. So I think that was good. You know, it puts me in the mind of Avatar. These were just blue people, you know, but it's the same thing, colonizers. So I think a lot of people were able to relate to it, not just us.
Do you think that they were successful or smart for putting those into the movie so that people could take that and relate to it, not just African Americans, but other cultures as well?
I don't know if, you know, I can't begin to get inside his head and what exactly it was that he was doing. But so many different things can be read in between the lines in this movie. I guess everybody's going to take away something different. So I'm not sure that's what he was doing, but I think that is what he accomplished.
How do you think that shaped audience's perception of the movie?
Well, you know what? I was watching YouTube, and I just seeing what different people were thinking about the movie. And they interviewed a ton of people in Korea.
Really?
And, yeah, and it was very interesting. And so they were asking them, you know, what did you think about the movie? Most of them loved it. They thought it was absolutely incredible. When they were asked, did it change how did you feel about black people before you saw this movie? So we thought they were criminals, we thought they were rapists, we thought they were dumb because that's what they were taught and that's what they see in the media. But they said this shed a whole new light on black people, and they said they no longer feel the same. They feel like the things that they were being told or taught are not necessarily true, the same way that now that there's a black superhero, maybe they'll start making movies about Korean superheroes. So I really think that, and that was just one country that I looked at, but I looked at and I listened to a lot of the different people that they talked to on the street, and all of them were kind of like in the same mindset that initially this is what they thought about black people, but now this is what they think about black people. And they just said that they just liked that it was so much diversity. And they had said it had good storylines.
According to the Washington Post, Avengers Infinity War notched an insane record-breaking opening in the United States this past weekend. Mm-hmm. The $250 million total, just ahead of Star Wars The Force Awakens in 2015, can be chalked up to sheer depth of its character bench that has every superhero in the Marvel Universe that they've brought into the media almost 10 years after the original Marvel movie came out. I believe it was Superman that mm-hmm. hit theaters and started it. People are arguing that Black Panther has a huge role in Avengers' success. Do you think that Black Panther is partly the reason Avengers is doing so well?
I think yes, but also I think it has a lot to do with timing, because usually they give a lot more time in between movies than they did with this one. But 45% of the moviegoers for Black Panther were women. And women are comic book readers, but not like men.
Yeah.
But now you gave us a reason to go.
Right.
So I think that that has made a huge difference, where it's not just, more people are going to this movie. And because so many people idolize various Marvel characters, well, when you put them all in one place, then everybody's going, you know? So I just think that the way that they did it was very smart. I think that Black Panther does have a lot to do with, but I think it also has a lot to do with timing. And then the aspect of women, and I haven't seen it yet. I plan to see it Saturday, but I'm hoping that they do more with the women and really show what that full army is capable of, because I think it, once again, it's great for our young girls. It is.
Focusing on the actual protagonist, T'Challa, why do you think that his character was welcomed with such open arms as opposed to other superheroes in their community?
I think because he was strong, but he was passionate, and he was very respectful of women. Loved his mother. He had a whole family dynamic. Most of these superheroes lost their parents, were adopted, all these different things. But he had a whole family, plus extended family. Plus they did everything within their community, and he fought for his community. Everything was going on here. And then he went outside his community, but then he brought his community with him. So I think that, and then even the way that he dealt with people, too. He was very forgiving, So I think that character, he was just very different, He was just very different. He had a lot of different faces of T'Challa. So I think that's why people really, really like him.
What do you think this means for the African community, African-American community?
Well, I think it's a little different because, we'll say, for instance, during the opening weekend, people were real excited. I even went to a premiere where we all wore African attire, okay? We had rented out a whole theater and had red carpet, and because it was just so exciting. And I know a lot of people say, oh, why y'all hype? What's all the hype about this? Like, I'm like, you guys, whatever. Let us have this one, okay? How about that? Because it doesn't happen every day. Also, in different communities, he was actually going to the openings of these in different Black communities and actually talking to people before the movies. So a lot of people were very, very excited about that. And he just wanted to, you know, come and just immerse himself with the people and show he's just a real person, a regular guy, you know, and really saying thank you for supporting the film and some supporting community projects. I think that is just another role model that we really needed, a different kind of role model. So I think it's going to do a lot for the Black community. And this Halloween, it's going to be a lot of folks from Black Panther in our communities. And I think it's great. I think it's great. It's nice to have choices.
Right. How do you think this is going to affect future superhero movies that are starring a Black role? Or starring a lead role that has an African-American?
As long as it it has good writing, as long as it still, I think, delves into some community issues, and we're not too unrealistic about some of the things that we as people of color deal with, then I think it would do well. I think it would do well. You know, I think that the one thing I can say about Black Panther is that even though he has super strength and super, he doesn't fly, he doesn't have X-ray vision, you know, I think some people feel like some of his abilities are possible. So I think it makes him a little bit more real to people.
Right. Well, I think that's all the time we have for today. Is there anything that you wanted to share that we missed?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay, well, thank you all for listening. Tune in next week, Wednesday at 3, to see what current event we will be tackling. You've been listening to The World as We Know It. This has been Ariel Zolezzi for KPC Radio. Thank you for my guest, Lisa, for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
And this is Ariel signing out.